presence of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is right here, right now. And He's not only in church, He lives inside of us, but there is something special about when we all come together. When we come together as a body, that there is just something amazing that happens when we get together. That is just one of the reasons that I'm excited to be in church. I'm excited to be back in Hobart. Actually, I just saw Rob King. And you've been to Europe, haven't you, Rob? Yeah, you're back in Hobart. So that's fantastic. Welcome back. Great stuff. So I am so excited that we are in church, that we're together, that you have braved the cold, that you've decided to be here this morning, because I know that God has got something to say. Who's expecting that God's got something to say to them? If we can get into a place of expectation when the word is preached, when we come together, did you know that God won't let you down? That He actually wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you right here, right now, this morning. Stephanie, I just think that God's got something to say to you this morning. I just think that for you, I was just praising God in the worship, and I looked across and I saw you there, and I just felt that God's actually doing something in you in that He wants you to be somebody that actually wins people to Jesus Christ, and that's you don't have to try and be anything you've not. You've just got to be yourself. You've just got to allow the love that He's placed inside you to shine through you. You've just got to allow that to connect you with people. And you're going to find yourself actually winning people to Jesus Christ. You're going to find yourself actually connecting them to Jesus. And that's just something I believe that God is placing on you. And it's something that over the years that you're going to just do in a very natural way. As you start to talk to people, that they're going to just ask questions. They're going to say, hey, what is it with you, Stephanie? What's going on? What's happening inside of you? And just very naturally, you're going to start to share about the love of Jesus, and people are going to respond to that. So yeah, just thank God for what He's doing in people in this place. So why don't you have a seat, and let's get into the Word. Thanks, Ben. Thanks, team. You guys are absolutely amazing. It's funny, as Grant said, we've been at Hillsong this week, And I'm always inspired when I get in a place like that, when there is just, you know, some people are a bit overwhelmed by numbers of people. You know, I'm excited by numbers of people. I'm excited because in this country of Australia, in this country which is, you know, essentially a fairly secular sort of country, isn't it? It's a country that doesn't, you know, we don't talk about our religion, you know, big time from the front. We don't talk about our faith a lot. You know, the easiest way in this country to stop a conversation is to start to bring God or bring your faith into it if you do it in the wrong way. You know, people very quickly back away from that because we're perhaps a fairly secular type nation in our thinking. But what inspires me is when I see, you know, 20 plus thousand people that actually are gathered together in the name of Jesus, that are gathered together in one place, that are prepared to passionately praise Him, that are prepared to travel from all around this country and all around this nation to actually be part of what God is doing. That's just one of the reasons that I get excited about being at Hillsong. As a leader, there are different options that you get to go to at Hillsong, and mostly I go to sort of streams and electives that are about leadership and pastoring and that sort of thing. Anyway, I found myself about to go off, and I wanted to hear a guy called Nicky Gumbel. Has anyone heard of Nicky Gumbel? He's the guy that has really got Alpha going across the world, doing amazing things all across the world, bringing people to Jesus in a really amazing way. And I wanted to go off and hear him, and I was just talking with Alex, and I said, well, what do you want to do? And Alex is my wife, and she said, oh, well, I wouldn't mind going and listening to Jesus Culture. Who likes Jesus Culture? And anyway, so I said, well, you go to Jesus Culture, and I'll go to Nicky Gumbel, and, you know, we'll all be cool and all happy. And she sort of said, oh, well, you know, if you're going to go there, well, you know, I just might go back to the hotel. And, you know, I said, well, would you go if I came with you? And she said, yeah, I'd love you to come with me. So off we went to Jesus Culture. And I thought, we sat, you know, right up the front. We got there early and we're sitting on basically the front row and they're there. And I'm thinking that, you know, they're going to do a little bit of worship and then they're going to talk a little bit about what they did. And I was really interested in that. But they didn't talk at all. They just worshipped. And I've been encouraging us as a church, and particularly blokes, to do the four-week challenge. If you find that you're not connecting with God the way that you think you should, why don't you take the four-week challenge and start to worship? And we just stood there. We just stood there, I reckon, for an hour and a half as these guys just led us in an amazing way into the presence of God. And for me, I've been in those situations lots and lots of times before, but it wasn't something I was expecting at the time. But it was something that God wanted to do in me. He wanted to say, hey, Dave, I want you to stand still at the moment. I want you to stop thinking about the next leadership strategy. I want you to stop thinking about all those things. And I just want you to enjoy being in my presence. And I want to encourage, and I've been saying this for a couple of weeks, but particularly blokes here this morning, that if we want to lead our families well, if we want to be an influence in this community, if we want to function well, we've actually got to find ourselves in the presence of God. And I want to encourage you, do that challenge. Do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes. For some of you, it'll be finding some time. For other you, it might be just, you know, putting worship music on in your car. Whatever it takes, do it. Do it. And start to break through in worship. Start to find yourself actually just getting into the presence of God. Because I believe that worship brings longevity to our faith. Worship actually, we looked at it in one of our messages a couple of weeks ago. Worship actually starts to bulletproof your faith. It actually, being in the presence of God, actually starts to put your faith in such a way that you're not going to fall off the track, that you're not going to fall over. So I want to encourage you, take up the four-week challenge with me, and we're going to take our worship to a whole new level. And I'm believing that in this church that we're not only, I'm not talking about who stands on the platform here and leads worship. I'm talking about blokes that lead worship, blokes that lead worship in their families, blokes that lead worship in young adults, blokes that lead worship in youth, blokes that lead worship in their workplace, just by the very fact that they've been in the presence of God. Come on, take up the four-week challenge with me. It'll change your life. Anyway, enough of that. I was actually going to tell you a funny story. I was going to tell you that I love my state. I love Tasmania. I love where I live. And there's something about when you get out of Tasmania, and I haven't noticed it for a couple of years so much, but this time I'm talking to people, and you know, the normal question, hey, where are you from? And, you know, oh, yeah, I'm from Brisbane, and I'm from Hobart. Hobart, wow, gee, that's a long way down there. How did you get up here? Well, we got on a plane, and we flew. In fact, we probably got here quicker than you did. It takes an hour to fly from Hobart to Sydney. It's actually pretty easy. We go to the airport, we check in, and we get up here. Oh, all right, okay, they have planes down there, do they? Oh, gee. Oh, Hobart, it must be so flaming cold down there. I mean, how do you live? How do you do it? Well, actually, I got my iPhone out once and showed somebody the temperature in Hobart and Sydney were exactly the same on that day. Well, actually, we do it. Anyway, so we get back here to Hobart, and I'm getting really ticked off about that. And it culminated when I sat next to a guy, and, you know, we're all used to the two-headed jokes and all that. But I was having a day where I'd had enough of it. Anyway, this guy, he sits at me. Where's he from? I'm from Brisbane. And anyone from Brisbane here? We love Brisbane. Anyway, he says, oh, I'm from Brisbane. Where are you from? Oh, I'm from Hobart. Oh, where's your other head? And I said, oh, I've got no scar here. Oh, I'm one of the lucky ones. We're doing a series at the moment on everyday heroes. And you know what? Everyday heroes, they don't have two heads. everyday heroes are everyday people. I'm talking about all of us being able to make a difference in the kingdom of God. I'm talking about being everyday heroes, not to be supermen, not to wear our underpants on the outside, not to wear a cape, not to be that. I'm talking about everyday heroes for Jesus. Everyday heroes doing what they can for Jesus. You see, being an everyday hero starts with you doing what you can. And our key verse for this series has been found in John 14, verse 12. And it says, I tell you the truth, anyone, who's it say? Anyone, that means Dan Pastor, that means Peter Burnett, that means Grant, that means Dennis Eckel, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and greater. Do you want to get that in your spirit this morning? That anyone who believes in me, who's that? Anyone who believes in Jesus will do the same works that I have done and greater. You see, that's what being an everyday hero is. Greater works actually start with doing what we can. Greater works start with doing what is in front of us. So I want to talk to you this morning about being an everyday hero for Jesus. In other words, taking up the mantle, you know, making a difference, living a life that's not mediocre. Does anybody here want to live a mediocre life? Does anyone want to live an average life? We got anyone here who wants to live an average life? Gee, you are all, you're above average people. That's absolutely brilliant. You are all above average. And I can remember as perhaps about an 18 or 19-year-old, and I can remember this so clearly, and I was sitting with a friend, and we were in that sort of zone where we're thinking about where our lives might go and what might happen, and we're being a bit idealistic about the way that we wanted to live our lives, and we looked at other people, and we'd grown up in a church, and it was... In the most part, it was a fantastic church, but we used to see Christians as being a bit conservative. We used to see them as, you know, sort of these sort of cardigan wearer type guys, you know, this sort of thing that we were looking at. And if you got a cardigan on this morning, bless you. But that's sort of what we used to think about. And I can remember saying to my mate, and we're a little bit rebellious perhaps, but that there was something that God was already doing in me, that I wanted to make a difference for the kingdom, and I didn't want to live an average life. I didn't want to sort of get to the end of the life and say, well, you know, we've had a house, we've had some kids, we've done this, and that's a fantastic thing to do, but that I've just lived an average life. And if you're honest, nobody wants to live an average life. You see, what I'm talking about in this series about being an everyday hero for Jesus is actually living an above average life. It is living a life where you make a difference for the kingdom, where you're not just satisfied to be average. Someone who dares to believe that following Jesus is not a mediocre life. You see, I can share and I can testify with you this morning that in all that, I'm a pretty average sort of person. I wasn't above average. If I did an IQ test, I'd come out okay, but I wouldn't be in the, you know, in the top percentage. I probably wouldn't be in the intake for doctors and medical students. I wouldn't be there, but I'd be okay. I've got enough up here to do what I need to do, like most of you. But I'm not an above average person. I know Simon, he's got a bit more, he's above average, but I want to say, I don't think I've lived a life to this point. I'm only 40-something. Hopefully I've got another 40-something years to go. But I've lived already a life that I'd say is above average. I've experienced things that I never thought were going to happen in my life. I've been to places that I never planned on going. I've seen things that I never even dreamed would happen. And why has that happened? It's not happened because I'm brilliant. It hasn't happened even through careful and strategic planning. It's happened because God's got hold of my life and God has actually started to lead me and take me to places and give me opportunities that I would never have thought would happen. You see, and if God can do it for me, He can do it for you. If God can do it for a whole lot of other people, and my testimony that I've just shared this morning, I know I could hand the microphone around now, and there'd be people here that could share testimony after testimony after testimony that already that they've lived an above average life, not because they're brilliant, but because God has done something inside them, because God actually gives us opportunities in front of us. That's what I'm talking about, being an everyday hero for Jesus. It's not about having a cape and wearing your underpants on the outside. It's about living an above average life. You see, I believe, I'm excited about Impact Conference because one of the things that excites me is we've got John and Helen Burns coming, and they're going to talk about relationships. They're going to talk about how we relate as people and as a church. You see, I want us to be a church, a confident church that has above average relationships. Not because we're brilliant, but because Jesus lives in us and empowers us to live above average relationships. We've got Josh Kelsey coming, and he's going to speak into youth and young adults. I believe that this church and this city is going to see above average young adults. That we're going to see a generation of young adults and young people that reach this city in an amazing way. We're going to see everyday heroes in young adults, not super people. We're just going to see people doing what they can because Jesus is living inside of them. You know, we've got to get fired up about this. We've got to get passionate about this stuff. We've got to decide that we can actually live an everyday average cardigan sort of life, or we can get a hold of what Jesus has done in us and live an exciting life. That we can actually go to the next level. We can go to the next. I'm using cliches. I don't care. But we can go to that next place, and we can go to where God is calling us. We can be everyday heroes for Jesus. Who wants to be an everyday hero? Have I got you now? Have I got you so that you're prepared to say, well, I'm actually going to step up and I'm going to live an above average life. I'm going to be an everyday hero for Jesus. I think if we're going to do that, let me tell you how we can do that. Let me tell you how you can be an everyday hero for Jesus. If you've got your Bibles, have a look at Galatians chapter 3. I got fired up, my heart's going. And it's better. It doesn't go as fast as it used to. See, I've been out cycling and I'm getting a little bit fitter. And so I really haven't been able to monitor it. But while I was away, I didn't have my bike with me. So where we were staying, the hotel had a gym. So I went down to the gym and I got on one of the exercise bikes. And it was a really funky exercise bike. You could plug your iPhone in and it could give you all this data and heart rates. And you could download your workout. And I was really excited about that. And I found that my heart rate is coming down. And I was excited about it. It's meant to go up with age, but my heart rate is coming down. So that's absolutely brilliant. So Galatians 3, chapter 1, it says this. It says, you crazy Galatians, did someone put a hex on you? Have you taken leave of your senses? In other words, what were you thinking? Something crazy has happened. It's obvious that you no longer have the crucified Jesus clear focus in your lives. His sacrifice on the cross was certainly set clearly before you. So number one, to be an everyday hero for Jesus, we've got to keep Jesus in clear focus. Number one, we've got to keep Jesus in clear focus. Let me show you something. This will blow your minds. These are my glasses. Anybody seen me before in my glasses? Only a few of you. I've had them for about 3 years. I hardly ever wear them. They're reading glasses. And they're not actually that strong, and so I sort of don't really need to wear them. And I could they're weak enough that even I can look down the back, and people there are sort of basically in focus sort of thing. So these are my reading glasses. I probably should wear them more, but I've noticed more lately that I probably should have my eyes tested again. I don't know, but I've noticed lately that as I get tighter, as I've been up for longer, as I've been working on things longer, that things actually start to go out of focus a little bit. Things start to become a little more fuzzy. And the interesting thing is that when I put these on, something like this, and you can see it probably says something about my eyes, but I use size 14 font on my notes. But what happens is when I put these glasses on, they don't necessarily help. They don't help me to see further at all. They don't allow me to do anything amazing, but what actually happens, particularly as my eyes have become tired, is that the font, if you like, on the page, it actually starts to stand up. And I can actually start to see it more clearly. It's actually more defined from the page when I put these glasses on. It doesn't make a huge difference other than everything starts to become clearer. And what I want to say is that when we first come to Jesus, we see Him clearly. Because there's something that happened that attracted us to Jesus. But over life, over time, energy, disappointments, tiredness, work, all these things, we can actually start to lose focus on who Jesus is and where that He is. And we know he's sort of there. And sometimes we feel Him and sometimes we experience Him. But our focus, if you like, our gaze isn't as crystal clear as what it needs to be. You see, and we find ourselves not being able to be effective. When my eyes get tired and I haven't got the glasses on and I start to try and read smaller fonts, I actually have trouble reading them and I read wrong words and that goes on and I don't quite get it right. You see, that's what starts to happen when we don't get a clear vision and a clear picture of who Jesus Christ is. If we want to be an everyday hero for Jesus, we've got to be able to focus on Him. And what Paul was saying to the Galatians here, he's saying, "You crazy Galatians, what were you thinking? Have you taken leave of your senses? Have you lost the plot? Something happened to you?" And what he was actually saying to them was, you were going well, but suddenly you stopped focusing on Jesus and you started to focus on all the stuff. You started to focus on you know, what happens when you come to church. Should you sit on this seat or should you sit on that one? Or should we take communion at the beginning of the service or should we take it at the end? Or should we take it up every time that we get together? Or you know, all these things that were starting to happen. Should we do this or should we do that? Should we be circumcised or should we not? All these things were starting to happen. These guys were dealing with this stuff. Just thank God that you live in the 21st century. And Paul was saying, hey, have you lost it? Have you taken leave of your senses? You're arguing about all the wrong things. He said, if you want to make a difference, if you want to be an everyday hero, just forget about some of that stuff. Forget about the distractions. Forget about he said, she said, and all that stuff that's going on, and start to get a clear picture of who Jesus is and what He's done for you. And then he goes on, he said, His sacrifice on the cross was certainly clear enough. To be an everyday hero for Jesus, number one, keep a clear focus on Jesus. So what did Jesus do for us? He left heaven. He left heaven. John 1:14 says, so the Word became human and made His home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. And then he didn't cling to His own rights. He didn't cling to His own rights. I love this. Philippians 2, 6-8 says, He had equal status with God. And He didn't think so much of Himself that He had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. And the New American Standard Version says, He did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Back to Philippians 2, 6-8. And then he says, not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity. He took on the status of a human slave, becoming a human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life, then died a selfless, obedient life to the worst kind of death, a crucifixion. To be an everyday hero for Jesus, number two, let go of your rights. That's not that cool in this world, is it? Because we have things like fight for your rights, stand up for your rights, claim your rights. But God's own Son, Jesus Himself, when He came to earth, it says that He didn't consider equality with God. He had equality with God. He was God. He didn't consider that something that He had to hold on to. He didn't consider that something He had to grasp and let everybody know about it. He said, he did that, and the reason He did that was His love and His compassion for us. You see, if you want to be an everyday hero for Jesus, we've actually got to let go of our rights a bit. I heard a story a little while back. Actually, it was thanks, Brian. It was a long time ago. But apparently, the young boys in Sri Lanka used to catch monkeys. And they would sell the monkeys to people that wanted monkeys. I don't know why they wanted monkeys, but the boys would catch monkeys, and the way that they would catch monkeys is they would get a jar, and they would nail that jar or a tin or something down to a table or a piece of timber, and they'd put nuts inside it, and the monkeys would come along, and they would put their hand inside the jar to get the nuts. And as they put the hand inside the jar, they had to clench their fist to actually grab hold of the nuts. You see, what would happen is they would put a jar with just the right size so that when the monkey clenched his fist, he couldn't get his hand out of the jar. And what would happen is the boys, the young fellas, they would shoot out of the bush or wherever they were hiding and they'd grab hold of the monkey. Now the monkey could have got away. All the monkey had to do was open his hand, let go of the nuts, and he could have run away. Or whatever they put in the jar. But the monkey was just so concerned. The monkey was just completely, completely focused on the food or whatever was in that jar that he kept his hand clenched, and the boys had no problem at all catching that monkey. You see, sometimes we can be like that. Sometimes we can be so focused on our rights. We can be so focused on the things that we need to hang on to that we get ourselves completely stuck because we're just so busy hanging on to it that we're not prepared to actually open up our hand and say, hey, does that really matter so much? Does that matter so much if she doesn't really know who I am? Does that matter so much if they don't understand that actually I'm very educated, I've got a uni degree, and they're treating me like I don't know anything? You know, there's something at that point in us, isn't there, that sort of rises up and we feel like, well, we need to say, well, actually, you know, if you knew who I was, you wouldn't speak to me like that. If you knew where I'd been, if you knew some of the stuff that I've gone through in my life, if you knew some of the immense wisdom that I've gained, you wouldn't speak to me like that. Or you wouldn't treat me like that. And we hold on to it. And we find ourselves that we're not able to reach the people. We're not able to get connected with the people we need to. We're not able to be an everyday hero for Jesus because we're so busy holding on to this stuff. When Jesus is saying, all you got to do is open up your hand. All you got to do is let go of it. You don't actually have to hold on to your rights so strongly because we've actually got somebody bigger, somebody stronger, somebody more impressive who is actually looking out for our rights, who is actually trying to make sure that our rights go on. When we go traveling, and it's interesting when Alex and I are checking on to planes and things, what often happens is, you know, we're in the lines and, you know, you stop there and then the line starts moving and you go again and, you know, you're sort of thinking about all these things. You know, I've got to get my bag checked in and we've got to get through security and we've got to get on the plane. And, you know, you all relate to that, don't you? You know, you get in that zone. And what seems to happen with me is I'm there and I've got my bag and I see a sort of spot in the line and I just sort of move up like that. And then I'll get a nudge from Alex and she'll say, Dave, you just push straight in front of that lady there. You know, you just cut straight in front of her. And I look around and think, oh, yeah, she's right. And, you know, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. And I step back. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. But it just keeps happening. I keep doing it. One time I nearly had a big stand-up fight with a guy, you know, he looked at me, what are you getting in front of me? And, you know, all this sort of thing, oh, I'm sorry, mate, I didn't mean to do it. And you see, and I thought about this, I thought, why does it keep happening? You see, you've probably got your own opinions about that. But what happens, I'm actually... You know, it's serious stuff. I'm focused. I've got to get to that counter. I've got to get my bag checked in. And then I've got to get through security. I've got to take my laptop out of my bag. And I've got to do this and I've got to do that. Thinking about all these things. And what's happening is I'm often missing what is going on right around me. Because I'm so focused. And I started to think about that even a bit more. And I thought, well, maybe inside me, is this value that, that it's actually my right to get through that line quickly. You know, I've paid my ticket, I've checked in, I might have even printed out my boarding pass at home, you know, online before I went, or I've gone to one of the machines, you know, the kiosk things, and out it comes, and then I've still got to flame and line up in this line and get my bag checked in. I might as well have just not done any of that and just said, here I am, David Morse, and they go, and here you are. Is that stupid? Does that annoy you about the airlines? And somewhere in me is this right that because I've done all these things that perhaps I should be able to go straight to the front of the line, Mr. Morse, here you are, and we've been waiting for you all morning. In fact, come through here, through the Qantas, you know, somehow inside, I'm not quite like that, but somehow in the back of my mind is perhaps that it is my right to be there. It's my right to go straight to the front of the line. And so I'm focused on that, and because of that, I'm missing what is going on around me. I'm missing the stuff that is happening around me. You see, if we don't start to let go of some of our rights, some of the things that we think are important about us, we actually miss the opportunities to reach people around us. We're like good old Dave there, cutting straight in front of someone with his suitcase and you know, pushing them back, and we've missed the opportunity that is actually right there in front of us and right around us. See, that's the whole problem, isn't it? Our rights, our agenda, our focus stops us seeing what's going on right next to us. Disciples had the same thing. Jesus was out ministering, and he was praying for people, he's healing for people. And you can see the disciples, can't you? You know, they are thinking, wow, this is fantastic. You know, they're like me talking a minute ago. They're saying, there is opportunities here that I never expected. They're there with Jesus. They're part of people being healed. They're part of leprosy just disappearing out of people's lives. They're seeing such amazing things, and it's all going on. And you can see they'd be lining people up. Oh, yes, you stand over there, sir, and Jesus will come and see you in a minute. And you know, yes, madam, you come over there, and I'll go and get Jesus. And they're getting it all organized. And then these parents that are just don't get it at all. They don't know the level of importance that's going on in the disciples' world. And they start to bring their children to Jesus. And the disciples, they can see. Look, there's a woman here and she needs to be healed of leprosy. And there's another guy here and he's quite connected in the town. He could be a man of influence. And they're getting everybody lined up. And these parents turn up with their children. And the disciples saying, hey, shoo them away. This is big stuff that we're dealing with here. You put the children over there. And Jesus looks at them and he was really tough on them. He rebuked them. He said, hey, come on, bring the kids here. Bring the kids to me. Bring the kids to me. You see, so often, we get so focused on what we consider as important, our rights in that we miss what was happening around us. See, Jesus had this amazing moment right there where he said, if you want to come into the kingdom of God, you've got to come like a child. You've got to come wide-eyed. You've got to come expectant. You've got to come without all your stuff. You've just got to come as you are. And you've got to come with an open and a heart that hasn't been, you know, jaded by the years of life. And I know we have that, but what he's saying is you've got to actually let that stuff go, and you just got to come. You just got to come expectant. Galatians, back to Galatians again, 3:2-4, he says, let me put this question to you. How did your new life begin? Was it by working your heads off to please God? Or was it by responding to God's message in you? Are you going to continue this craziness? For only crazy people would think they could complete it by their own efforts. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose you could perfect it? We've got perfectionists here this morning. It's all right. I know about them. I live with one. Don't tell her. She won't listen to it. It's our secret. If I can get this 100% right, if I can't get... This is what perfectionists do. And we all do it. I've joked about different people. But if I can't get this 100% right, I'm not going to do it at all. Do you relate to that? If I can't get all the details right, if I can't get this all together, well, I'm not going to even have a go at it. If I know that there is a chance that I might fail, that I might not be able to succeed, I'm not going to start this thing. I'm not going to do it at all. And I'm not suggesting that we stop doing things well. I'm not suggesting that we take a she'll be right blasé attitude to things. But you see, trying to be perfect is carrying a heavy load, isn't it? Trying to have the perfect house, the perfect body, perfect clothes, perfect children, perfect car, perfect relationships, all these things that we want to have perfect, and somehow our being perfect in our attempts to serve Jesus. Oh yeah, I'm going to serve Jesus. If I'm going to start to serve at church, well, I need to be able to do it better than anybody else. I need to be able to do it in an amazing way. I need to be able to get all my stuff together so I can do that. You see, so often it's our perfection that stops us actually having a go. So often it's the fact that we think if we can't get it all together, if we can't get it right, I'm not going to be able to do it at all. What did Jesus do with his disciples? He called these rough and ready guys together who were far from perfect, and he said, what did he say? He said, follow me. And he said, just come along for the journey, guys, and we'll start getting the stuff worked out. You see, to be an everyday hero for Jesus, number three, accept the fact that you're not smart enough or strong enough. It's a relief, isn't it, sometimes when you do that? You know, when even if you've been in a running race, and I've been watching the Tour de France this week, and you see these guys and they're striving, and it's amazing, these guys that support the team leader. They guys will go out who could potentially win the race, and they do it for somebody else. They get out the front there and they give it everything they've got, and then when they're spent, they just pull off and they let another guy come through, and he shoots to the front and wins the race. And you see, sometimes we can be like that. We're thinking, wow, you know, if only I could be perfect, I could get all the way there. But sometimes God's actually saying, you know, I want you. I want you. I want you to be the lead out person. I want you just to give it everything you've got. I want you to go for it. And you might not get to perfection. You might not get all the way there, but just give it all the way when you get there. And there's this amazing sense of relief when you've given it everything you've got. You see, as those guys in the tour, as they give it everything they've got, and I've watched them, and they pull out, and the next guy comes through, and they just sit up, and they take a breath, and they just fade back into the peloton. And sometimes we, in our human thinking, wow, they're fading back into insignificance. But no, they're not. They've been a hero. They've got out the front, they've broken the wind, and they have given it everything that they can, and they have set the pace, and they have allowed somebody else to come through and get to an amazing position. You see, God is not asking you to be perfect. He's just asking you to lead out. He's just asking you to step up and say, I'm actually just going to give this everything I've got. Wouldn't it be awful to get to the end of your life and you think, I've got so much more in the tank? See, that's what I like about those riders that lead out. They give everything. There's nothing left in the tank. They actually spend every bit of energy, every bit of thing that they've got in their body so somebody else can get through. You see, that's the exciting thing about the kingdom, is that we can all lead out for somebody else. Is that we don't have to attain perfection. And Paul says to the Galatians, if you guys think that you can get there by being perfect, you've lost the plot. What were you thinking? You just need to lead out. You just need to give it everything you've got, and you allow my strength to work through you so that we can together get to where we've got to go to. Yeah, God is looking for lead out people here this morning. He's looking for people that will step up and lead out. Accept that by yourself you're not strong enough, but in Jesus you are. When we come to Jesus in our humanity, we're very aware that we're not strong enough, we're not smart enough, we're not good enough, we're not wise enough, we're not rich enough, we can't love enough, we can't be kind enough, we can't be disciplined enough, Grant Medwin. You know what he did? You know what he did? We had to catch, we had to catch a flight back to Hobart. I left at 7:30, so it meant that we had to get up at 5:30 to be ready to get a taxi from our hotel at 6 o'clock, you know, to be at the airport and push in front of people in the line and do all that stuff. So we stayed up in our room till, I don't know, 2 o'clock or something, watching the Tour de France and doing all that stuff. Then Grant disappears and goes back, and I go to bed thinking, oh, at least I can get a couple of hours sleep, 3 hours or 4 hours or something, and I go to sleep and it down there. Grant's looking a bit worse for the wear, you know, eyes hanging out of his head. What happened, Grant? What were you thinking? He stayed up. He stayed up talking to his roommate and had 1 hour sleep to get on the plane. You see, we can't be disciplined enough. Galatians 3, 5 and 6 says, answer this question. Does the God who lavishly provides you with his own presence, his own Holy Spirit working things in your lives you could never do by yourself? You see, by the power of the Spirit, Grant got up out of bed. Do these things because you're strenuous moral striving, or because you trust in him? Do you do these things because of your strenuous moral striving, or because you trust in him? Number four, to be an everyday hero for Jesus, trust in Jesus. Trust Jesus to do it in you. Trust Jesus to do it in you. See, every day, I wish I was smarter. I wish I was wiser. I wish I was stronger. I wish a whole lot of things. But I know that I can actually live that above average life because of Jesus doing it in me. I wish I was more creative. If only God had made me more this. If only God had made me more creative. If only he'd made me cleverer. If only he'd made me this. If only, you know, I've had this struggle in life. I'm a terrible, terrible handwriter. Those that have seen my writing know that you can hardly even read it. It is absolutely shocking. And when I started school, it started right from the start. You know, the teachers would come along, they'd rip the page out of my book and tell me to do it again. And it didn't matter what happened, I couldn't get my handwriting right. And the other day, who likes filling in forms? Yeah, I knew there'd be some people, and I'm not good at filling in forms. Anyway, the girls in our office were really busy. Normally, I'd get them to fill a form in, and we had to do something down at the bank. So I thought, all right, I'll fill this form in. So I get in there and I fill the form in and fill all the stuff in and got it all sorted out and got the right people to sign it. And I go down to the bank, and the girl looks at it and she looks at me and she said, "Mr. Morse, did you fill that form in?" I said, "Yep." She said, "I suggest you never fill another form in your life." See, there are a whole lot of things that you're not good at. See, and as good as you are, you know, some of you can fill forms in magnificently. As good as you are, there's always someone better. And before God, our perfection doesn't even measure up. But you know what the exciting thing is? Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Amplified Bible says, I have the strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength. I am sufficient in my own ability. Now, I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. You can do it. A bloke that can't even write. I can write, but I'm terrible at those things. I did at high school, and a lot of you have been the same, but we used to have three levels of subjects when we're at, you know, year 9 and 10 when I was at school, level 1, 2 and 3. And maths, I was okay, level 3, you know. Science, level 3, I'm into all that sort of stuff. English, just, you know, level 2, and just, you know, working really hard, and I got a higher pass, I got 60%, you know. In other words, I'm not that good at the whole English stuff. What do I do now most of my life? I write stuff, typing things out and humouring, making people's days with my typos and all this stuff. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, you can be an everyday hero, not because you're good as you might be, but you can be an everyday hero through Christ who strengthens you. Come on, we're going to wind this up. The band want to join me, please. To be an everyday hero for Jesus, number five, listen to this. Take your everyday ordinary life and place it before God as an offering. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this. It says, here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life, you're eating, you're sleeping, going to work and walking around, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. You know, you can do that. You can do that. You can take your everyday ordinary life. You're eating, you're sleeping, you're walking around, and you can actually choose to place it before God as an offering. How do we do that? We get up in the morning. God, I give you my everyday, ordinary life. I'm going to the shop today. I've got to buy the groceries. I've got to pick the kids up from school. I give it to you. I've got to go to work. I've got to see that shocking client. I give it to you. I've got to teach these really, really difficult kids. I give it to you. I've got to stand and I've got to wait for an hour at the bus stop because I just missed my bus. I give it to you. You see, that's how we become. That's how we can. Grant preached a great message last week about being inconvenienced. Everyday heroes are actually inconvenienced. See, we take our everyday life, we take what we've got, we take what God has given us, and we place it before Him as an offering. We say, God, I'm giving you what I've got this morning, and I'm placing it before you, and I want you to use me. We were going to the airport in Sydney, and we get picked up by an Iranian taxi driver, and we start chatting, and Grant, because he's undisciplined, is in the back seat nearly asleep, and... And I'm chatting away to the taxi driver, and the subject comes up like it does. Oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm a pastor. Oh, what's a pastor? Like a church minister. Oh, yeah, you're like a priest. Yeah, that's me. I'm a priest. And we start chatting, and eventually I find that this guy, he starts to tell me. He said I was a Muslim. I said, are you a practicing Muslim now? And he didn't really answer the question, but he said, I've written 3 books on religion. When I was in Iran, I was at university and I studied this, and I'm writing about religion. I'm writing about what extremism does. I'm writing about what extreme Muslim does. I'm writing about what happened in extreme Christianity. I'm writing about all this stuff. And we have this amazing conversation about how this all works. I didn't get the guy to say a sinner's prayer or anything like that. But maybe, Grant said, that would have been inconvenient. I wanted to sleep. But maybe my just everyday life that morning is just one more link in the chain. One more link in the chain in that guy finding Jesus. Let me finish with this. What I want to say to you is that it's not that hard to be an everyday hero for Jesus. You see, if it was meant to be, some things are hard. Some of the decisions are hard, but actually getting out there and doing it isn't that hard, because Jesus made it so that we can all do it. In Isaiah 40, 31, it says this. It says, but those who wait upon God get strength. They spread their wings and they soar like eagles. They run and they don't get tired. And they walk around and they don't lag behind. You see, that word wait doesn't mean just to wait like I'm waiting at the bus stop. That word wait means to look, hope, and expect. In other words, those who look, those who hope, and those who expect God to do something, He will renew their strength. You will walk and you won't grow tired. You will run and you'll not grow weary. You will actually rise up out of your situation, whatever you're going through right now. You will rise up with wings like eagles. You know, you might be going through a health crisis. You will rise up with wings like eagles. You will get through that. I'm not saying what exactly will happen, but those that wait for strength in God will actually rise up with wings like eagles. As I finish here this morning, our last point is to be an everyday hero for Jesus. We've got to look for, we've got to hope, and we've got to expect. We've got to look for, we've got to hope, and we've got to expect. You got to look for what God's doing. You got to hope. Hope doesn't mean I hope it's going to happen. Hope means that you've got something placed inside of you that is a sure thing. And you got to expect that God is going to do something in your life and in your day and in your world and amongst the people that you deal with. Come on, let's stand up. Let's start to worship our God.